Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Tim Billiter, and welcome to Life Coach Chat on the Life Coach Radio Network on blogtalkradio.com. Tonight, we will be discussing developing self-love through self-acceptance. But first, coming up this week on Life Coach Radio Network, tomorrow night, June 5th at 8 p.m., Jose Albino hosts Purposeful Conversation, Extraordinary Stories of Love and Selflessness, Giving by Two Ordinary People That Experience Monumental Personal Odds as Caregivers. And on Thursday night, June 6th at 3 p.m., Transform Your Life in 30 Minutes. Join business, academic, speaker, and life coach David Benjamin Citron as he shows you how you can release your incredible potential to achieve outstanding progress in all areas of your life. So let's go about bringing in our team for tonight. Tonight I'm joined by Barbara E. Hetzel. She is the owner and founder of Top Ridge Coaching, a life and leadership coaching firm that engages leaders and teams in developing and expanding their gifts and talents for the world. As an accomplished professional in the field of training and organizational development, she has over 25 years of experience helping others discover and embrace their true calling. Welcome, Barb.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here.
Good to have you tonight. Is there anything that you want to add to that impressive bio?
No, I just want to say that, if people want to find me on the Internet, you can check out my website. It's Ridgetop Coaching, RIDGETOP coaching.com, and I'm happy to have you visit there and pass me along your information in the contact form if you want to reach out to me. I would look forward to any opportunities for conversations happening.
Great, and just so our listeners know, what type of coach do you consider yourself to be?
I consider myself a life and leadership coach, which is could be a little confusing to people. But really, the kinds of folks that I work with most often are those folks that identify themselves as leaders, either in their lives or in their businesses or in their companies or corporations, and they're really trying to work to integrate what it means to be a leader in their career, and also how does that map to who they are in their everyday life, and being able to integrate that and to connect those two things.
Great. Sounds like your clients are very lucky to have you as a coach.
Well, I would hope that they think that, yes.
Thanks. So next up is Dexter Cicero. After going through a six-month intense quantum learning, Dexter decided that he wanted to help people do the same, so he decided to begin working with the company Cultural Educational Center, also known as CEC, as a coach, after some intense training with the best of the best in quantum dynamics. Since then, he has applied to the Trainers Training Forum to become a facilitator, and now has some of his own clients. He does personal dynamics meditation and experimental work. Welcome, Dexter.
Thank you. How is everyone tonight?
Everybody's good on my part. How about you, Barb?
I'm doing great. It's a great day.
So, Dexter, how about you? You want to add any additional information, things you'd like us to know about you or your business?
If anyone wants to reach me, they can reach me at Dexter Cicero, Cicero spelled C-I-C-E-R-O, at gmail.com. And you can also call me at 347-526-4752. And just that I'm excited to be here on the show, talking with everyone and putting some good information out to help heal, the world and make it a better place, so to speak.
Yeah. And, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Barb, just so our listeners know. What type of coach do you consider yourself to be?
Quantum dynamics, which means that we go for lots of change in a small period of time. I focus on work, health, relationships, all the different areas, domains of one's life.
So it sounds like your client base is somebody who's really motivated to make change.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Great. So as I said at the top of the show, I'm Tim Billiter, and I am a New York City area-based life coach, life purpose coach. And my mission really is to sort of remind people who they really are at their core of their being, and then facilitate the creation of a life based on that truth. My goal is to assist people in developing thought processes and practical skills to move through life with much more ease and grace. Now, obviously, I just read that. So what that means is that I consider myself a foundational coach. And when I say a foundational coach, is my clientele would be coming because they want to figure out who they are and they want to figure out what's really at the core is holding them back from the life that they really wish to have. And so, you know, we're going to dive into the deep end of that pool and figure out what those things are, and together we're going to build a strong foundation so that you can build a strong life and have the, you know, have a healthy life, the life that you sort of desire. Tonight we'll be talking about learning to accept ourselves and how that ultimately leads to learning to love ourselves. If you'd like to join in on the conversation or have any thoughts, any questions, call us at 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. So one of the things that I wanted to do before we jump into the idea of self-acceptance, and it's cool weather here in the Northeast, finally, so if you hear the cars driving by, I got all the windows open. Sorry about that, folks. Before we jump into self-acceptance, I really wanted to touch on acceptance itself. And I wanted to touch on it because I find it to be an area where people struggle. And I think that people struggle with the idea of acceptance because they don't really know exactly what it is. They think it's something other than what it is. And I think what happens for people is that when they are asked to accept something, especially something that they really don't like, they think that what they're being asked to do is to embrace it, or to sort of say that they approve it, or even to kind of wave a white flag and saying, you know, there's nothing I can do about this, and I'm just going to have to live with something that I really hate. And I don't think that that's really what acceptance is. Also, in my own life, I've found that I've had three major areas where that have kept me from accepting. And the first area is judgment, and that's placing a value on a thing, be it a positive or negative. And what I found is that when I judge something as positive, I want to hold on to it so bad, I never want it to go away. And then I become fearful that it's going to go away. Now, when I judge something negative, all I want it to do is go away. The second area that I find that sort of blocks acceptance is shame. And it's rooted in judgment, except for it's not me judging anymore. It's me being afraid that I'm going to be judged. And, you know, nobody wants to be judged. I've said on the air before that, you know, one of the things that human beings crave more than anything in the world is connection. And, you know, we fear that we're going to be ostracized from that connection and from others. One of the worst things that you can do in prisons is put somebody in solitary confinement. You know, so we don't want to face anything that we feel that is going to get us judged negatively and pushed away. And in that vein, what we do a lot of the times to push things away is we go into denial, which is really that third level that I think is what blocks people. And denial is really just a way for our mind to contain things that it thinks is too painful to deal with. So we just kind of pretend that it doesn't happen. And what I found is that, you know, if I'm in the middle of judgment or shame or denial or any combination of three, because sometimes it's not just one or the other, I really can't accept the situation because I can't really see it for what it is. So, you know, what I want to do is to basically define acceptance. You know, what I feel acceptance is. And ultimately, I think acceptance is simply admitting to things, to a thing as it presently is, without placing a value on it, projecting how others will perceive it, or what implications it holds to the past or the future. I'm going to read that one more time. Acceptance is simply admitting to a thing as it presently is, without placing a value on it, projecting how others will perceive it, or what implications it holds on the past or future. Now that I've had my sort of say on all of that, let's bring in the panel to see what they think about you know, acceptance, and we are going to start with ladies first and go with Barb.
All right. Well, geez, how do I follow that? that was a great, wonderfully mapped out, you know, comprehensive thought process there. But one of the things, one of the themes, and I guess the threads that I was hearing when you were talking, Tim, is that, you know, that there's a sense of acceptance, as I understand it, that it is, there's something freeing about it in your definition, you know, that acceptance really can be a first step for somebody's freedom into whatever it is that has bound them up. You know, so it's, you know, whether it has to be with, you know, a self-image, or whether it has to do with, you know, a dysfunctional family setting that they might have grown up in, or, you know, maybe, you know, their boss at work is just, you know, treats them awful and they just are having a hard time. But when you accept kind of like what is, without judging it and without putting any kind of positive or negative connotations to it, it really is an opportunity for an individual to kind of like release the ties that could have on them, and then they really can be free to act in a way that is true to who they really are, and so that they can, you know, kind of step out in their best selves and step out in their own integrity to face whatever it is that they are trying to essentially make some decisions about and move their lives forward.
Yeah, and I think you put that wonderfully. And what you sort of reminded me of is that sometimes the things that we refuse to accept become our limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel like sometimes that our limiting beliefs, we'll deal with them little bits and bits, and it's almost like a tether. And sometimes we'll give ourselves a little more of the tether and a little more of the rope and a little more of the rope, but eventually it's going to snap us back because we're tethered to something.
Right. A friend of mine shared this image with me one time that she was talking about how she was feeling like, you know, she had just come through a pretty traumatic event in her life, and she was, you know, feeling like, oh my God, you know, thank God this is over. And that she had this image of herself, like as a horse, you know, running in this great big field. And she just kept running and running and running. And all of a sudden she hit the fence again. And just as she was through all of this, you know, whatever the turmoil and the trauma that happened to her, you know, the reality hit her that, you know, even though you can run and you can feel like you're free, If there's that tether that's still on you, you're still going to come up against something. And the whole idea of acceptance is to kind of say, you know, I want to let go of the tether, and I want to kind of be who I am.
Dexter, let's get you in here.
Wow, you guys have so wonderfully articulated our subject matter tonight. Just to add on to what Barbara said, when you have accepted a situation, have accepted yourself, it just gives you, again, freedom to create whatever it is that you want to create. Because sometimes I think people, when they haven't accepted a situation, they keep wanting to change the situation. And then that puts a focus on what has happened and what they think will happen, as opposed to just like being in that moment and saying, you know, I'm going to do something outside of what it is that has happened at that moment and create something completely different with no evidence and move completely forward. So if that makes sense. So that's how I see when you've accepted a situation and you've decided to move forward without thinking that you need to constantly change what has happened. Is that,
I got my sort of introduction into sort of the spiritual mm-hmm. self-help world and mm-hmm. all of that through the 12 steps. And one of the things that I learned really early on in the 12 steps, they have something that they call the 3 A's. And mm-hmm. they're talking about making change in your life. And mm-hmm. what they say is that the process of change is a 3-step process. It's awareness, it's acceptance, mm-hmm. and it's action. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, most people want to go directly from awareness to action, because they don't mm-hmm. want to get into the acceptance mm-hmm. thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, they can't really, and I identified with this because I tried this myself. I never could really get where I wanted to go because I was never looking at the situation sort of without my judgments on it, without all the stuff that I put on it. And, mm-hmm. you know, eventually I heard somebody say, it's not really a three-step process. It's awareness, acceptance, 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 and then action. You know, you got to spend that time on that acceptance. You got to, you know, you got to, and I sort of developed this idea for myself that, you know, even no matter what it is, if it's my cell phone, whatever, really, acceptance is me just looking at that item and being able to look at it from every angle that I'm looking at it, turn it around, see it what it is, you know, and stop worrying about what I want it to be or what I don't want it to be or what I think other people are thinking it's going to be or anything else, and just seeing it for what it is. And then when I do that, my choices become much larger.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow.
So, all righty. Reminder to our listeners, you're listening to the Life Coach Chat, Developing Self-Love Through Self-Acceptance on the Life Coach Radio Network on the blogtalkradio.com. I'm Tim Bilder, and I'm joined by my fellow coaches, Barb Hetzel and Dexter Cicero. If you'd like to join the conversation tonight, call us at 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. So I wrote, when I sort of scheduled the show, I recalled the Whitney Houston song that she sang that was one of her biggest hits, The Greatest Love of All. And one of the lines in there is, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. And we've been talking about acceptance and why people struggle with it and what it really means. But the topic of the show is not really just acceptance. It's self-acceptance and how it leads to loving ourselves. So, Dexter, I'm going to start with you this time, and I'm going to let you share what you wish to share on self-acceptance.
First of all, I mean, without self-acceptance, there's no acceptance of anyone else at all. I've witnessed a lot of people sort of going, you know, just living in that place where they're trying to have relationships or trying to do things, and it never works for them, and they place a lot of their pain and feeling of being less than or being fearful or being doubtful about themselves and who they are and what they can create in the world, they place that on other people. And hence, they live in that place of judgment, and then they put that forward on someone else, and then that person puts that forward on someone else, and so on and so forth. So creating self-acceptance is, like you said, you know, the three steps, which is a very interesting acceptance, 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 acceptance. Just daily practice, sitting with oneself, reminding oneself through a meditative process, which I like to use, how clearing one's mind of one's thoughts, sitting there, prayer, being thankful for things that have happened in one's life, and looking at one's life and seeing how they can be of use to someone else and creating that love. Because if you, I mean, I could stand in front of you and tell you how wonderful you are and all this other stuff, but if you don't believe it, then you can't put anything forward, because it means nothing until you really, really sit down and look at yourself and take a chance and do things and, you know, go out and live life fully. So that's where I'm at.
Do you have a, can you think of a situation in your life or in one of your clients' stories that, you know, where they've struggled with self-acceptance and how they sort of moved into a place of better self-acceptance?
Wow, I have so many, because I work in like a group setting a lot of the times, and so there's like so many stories. It's like, how do I have to find and pull one? Just, you know, I knew someone who was, this particular person was in a relationship, and he had this sort of idea that everything needed to be perfect, because, you know, and if his partner wasn't doing this, then it wasn't perfect, and he constantly made the partner feel less than he really was. And so I sat down and told him, I said, asked him, how does he feel about himself? And he said, no one's ever asked me that. And then he went into, he feels that he's less than, he felt that he couldn't do anything in his own life, that he didn't know what he was good or bad at, because he had never taken a chance to do anything. I said, wow. And he said, and I said, so why don't you start doing things? You know, and we went into the process of just doing, and then we went into the process, it went a little backwards a little bit, and I said, well, who are you being today? Every day that you wake up, are you being the most loving self? Are you being the most kind self? And then what are you doing? And then what would you like to have happen in your life? And so he started to walk through this process, and he realized that he enjoyed being in service in the community, enjoyed dancing, enjoyed playing the piano, stuff like that. And slowly every day he would walk through these processes, and then he realized that his relationship with his partner started to increase and become better and more loving and so on and so forth. So that's just one example of something I did with someone. And it took some time, but it was very interesting to watch the process.
What types of questions do you ask people that, you know, to sort of elicit, you know, acceptance in themselves?
Again, it goes back to, like, who are you being at this moment? And people generally don't think about who they're being at this moment. They're just like, I am who I am, you know? But if someone looks into who they're being in terms of, are they being kind? Are they being loving? Are they being patient? Are they being understanding? Are they listening to the other person? I also ask people about what are their thoughts about themselves, to just write them down. Like at any given time, at any given day, what are you thinking about yourself? How do you see yourself in the world? Do you like the way you look? Do you like? Have you thought about what you feel towards yourself and other people? And these are questions people don't ever get asked or ask themselves. And that stirs up a lot of emotion, a lot. People get angry, they get happy, they just write this wave of emotions. And so that begins the process of opening up where they're at that moment.
Anybody who's listened to me before and probably will hear it again the next time, sometime down the line, I talk a lot about a thing that I developed for myself, which is I call my own personal mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what I'm talking about is that, you know, I've developed a story that I tell myself about myself and my place in the world. And some of it's based on truth and some of it's not based on truth, but it's my story. And I found that at some point in time in my life, I stopped writing a story for myself and just defending the story that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that's, you know, when people get angry or happy or sad or whatever because they start to think about something different, it's almost like that their story is challenged and they don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Barb, how about you?
Well, I guess I just want to jump in on the conversation a little bit for what both Dexter and Tim, what both of you are saying. I think that a lot of times individuals will kind of like take I've encountered people that have taken this stance as like, you know, kind of just say, well, you know, this is who I am, and it's kind of set in an attitude of, you know, kind of dismissiveness, or, you know, kind of with like a chip on their shoulder kind of thing. And I really do think that it's an opportunity for, you know, if it's a coaching opportunity, it's an opportunity to kind of say, well, what is it then that you are, or who is it that you are? And one of the exercises that I have used with different people is to ask them to just create to get out a piece of paper and to write down I am, and just keep like filling in the blank as many times as they can think of. You know, I am, you know, artistic. I am, you know, musical. I am sad. I am whatever the last word happens to be in that phrase for them. To almost like to do like a brain dump around all of those things that people understand about themselves. And it's similar, I think, Tim, to what you're talking about in terms of your own mythology, because it begins to tell the story of who people think they are. And then you can, and then an individual, kind of like what Dexter was saying, then the individual can kind of take a look at them, look at those things, and say, wow, this is really kind of an interesting picture, and begin to either accept all of those things that they are, whether they seem contradictory or not. And then if they don't like what they see, or they don't like who they are, or an aspect of who they are, then comes the opportunity for the acceptance. And Tim says the acceptance and the acceptance and the acceptance until they can take an action to do something else about that.
How do you know when you on a personal level, how do you know when you're accepting a situation?
I know that I am accepting the situation when I can laugh at myself.
That's good. I like that a lot. Dexter, how about you?
when you that, along with what Barb said, is when you've released it and you can look at it from a loving place. For me, always. And you can just say, you know what? I feel good about this, and let's move forward.
Yeah, and I found for myself that I know I'm not in acceptance about a situation when I think about it, and I sort of emotionally and almost physically want to sort of like curl up into a ball and recoil. And, you know, and the minute that somebody says something to me, even if it's negative, if I don't have that feeling and I don't have that reaction and I can just sort of sit with it and go, you know, that could possibly be true.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I've, like, reached that place of acceptance. And then when I reach that place of acceptance, at that point I can say, you know, that may be true and that's not the person I want to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the more that I fight it, and the more that I find that I'm in that sort of like that little ball and sort of that recoiling place, the things that I'm pushing away or I don't want to look at are actually ruling me.
Mm. That's a great point, Sam. Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, I think a lot of times we don't realize how much those things in our life have a control over us rather than we controlling them, that they really, you know, create these like I said, like these alter ego kinds of personas that we carry around. Like I don't know if either of you watch TV or if our listeners watch TV, but there's every once in a while I catch this commercial that is. It's a Snickers candy bar commercial where the person is kind of acting, you know, acting like somebody different than who they really are. And their friends are always saying, hey, look, you know, really, you're acting, you know, like a jerk or you're acting crazy when I hear have a Snickers. And then they return to their regular selves, you know, as if, you know, Snickers bar is going to do that. But the premise, you know, they get the deeper meaning, the meta meaning in that the commercial, though, is kind of saying, you know, there are some things, you know, sometimes we don't act like ourselves. And when we can accept that, you know, we're like, wait, who said that? Or who was that? And we can, you know, recognize it and become aware of it. Then we can kind of say, okay, then we take control back and say, okay, that's not who I want to be. That's not what I want to act like.
Yeah, and, you know, to our listeners, one thing I want you all to know as listeners is that being a coach does not make us perfect. We all have our own issues, and we all have our own journeys that we're on as well. And, you know, I want to bring that up because you just reminded me, you know, about a year ago I was in a job that I'm still in, actually. And I was really, really unhappy at the job. And I'm not going to go into all the reasons because, you know, it doesn't make any difference, but I was really unhappy and I was really unmotivated and I was really angry. And there were times when I would be sitting in a meeting or I would be sitting amongst my peers or I'd be sitting in my boss and I would just say the meanest, most inappropriate things. And I would walk out of that situation and I would feel like something had come over me, that I just had no control over it.
Mm. Mm.
I obviously wasn't in acceptance in that point in time.
Yeah. I hear you say that, and I was in a job for about a year, a little over a year, and it was the same things. I reached the point where I said to myself, how can I get fired? I was like, how can I just get out of this? You know, and it was really interesting because I'd never thought that before. And one of the things was, maybe it could be inappropriate to my bosses. And I said, no, I already do that. And I was like, wow, I'm actually being inappropriate to my bosses at all times during the day. And I actually ended up getting out of that job. And it really, that and at the end of the day, opened up more possibilities for me, and I felt much freer. But while there, I haven't accepted the fact that this isn't what I was supposed to be doing. And I was kind of on automatic, and I was like, I just need a job, I just need to work, and I need to make money.
Right.
And had I looked at the fact that this was something that was supposed to be temporary and it's been going on for years, and what is this about? Like, what do I need to do to get out of this at this moment? And I looked at who I was being, what I needed to do, what I wanted to have happen, and I moved forward, and it has the last 2.5 weeks have been the most amazing experience in a very long time. So.
Wow. Yeah, and my situation is I just had to make the decision at that point in time was I had to look at the situation, and I thought to myself, am I ready to leave? And I wasn't. I mean, I was in the middle of all sorts of other things that was leading me in a direction that I ultimately want to go, but I wasn't ready to leave. So I ultimately had to sit and accept the fact that the situation was what it was, and I wasn't going to change it. So I either went with it or I got out. And since I wasn't ready to get out, I had to rearrange my own attitude to, you know, to make it. And I'm still there a year later, and I'm much happier there now. I mean, do I think it's my ultimate goal in life? No. But, you know, it really was just about me changing my attitude and accepting what the situation was.
Very good.
Yeah, I just want to, my mind has gone in a couple of different directions, my thoughts, I guess, and I want to say a little something about individuals that might be listening that might find themselves in abusive kinds of environments, and I don't think that we're talking about acceptance of, you know, okay, let me accept the abuse. But also, you know, but get to be in a place where you can accept that it's unacceptable. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Then I think that, you know, a lot of times when people talk about acceptance and they think, oh, you should just, you know, it's kind of like it can feel fluffy when something, oh, just accept, you know, just accept, kind of like accept your lot in life and accept that, you know, this is you know how it is, and I think especially for women, not that men don't experience abusive relationships, but I think a lot of times women will stay in abusive relationships because of children or because of economic for economic financial reasons, and will not. Not find that self-love that you talked about earlier, Tim, to say that, you know, really, I'm so much more important than this abuse, and being able to accept that piece, accept the self-love piece, in order to not accept whatever abuse is coming into somebody's life or is in somebody's life. And it doesn't have to be a personal relationship either. You know, you can be abused by a coworker, by a boss, you know, or, you know, in any number of ways, you know. Anyways, that thought was just coming into my head while we were while I was listening, and so I just wanted to put it out there.
Yeah, and I think it's a really good thought, and I'm actually glad you brought it up, because I think that, you know, one of the things that I personally want people to understand is that whether it's abusive, you know, relationship, or, you know, you're putting up with a situation with people who aren't treating you well at work or wherever it is, to basically just live with it is not really accepting it. Because you're not really accepting it for what it is. You're not probably not accepting it for as abuse.
Yeah.
Very good point.
So let me give a reminder to our listeners. You're listening to the Life Coach Chat, Developing Self-Love Through Self-Acceptance on the Life Coach Radio Network, found on blogtalkradio.com. If you want to join our conversation, if you have any comments, any questions, any thoughts, give us a call at 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. So, Barb, how about you? Any personal stories or client stories that you'd like to share regarding self-acceptance?
Well, I think for most, in my experience, I would say that most of the concerns and issues would have to be that I've had personally, and also I've heard other people, have talked to other people about it, is being able to be in a place where you can just be who you are, so in a way that is that you stay true to yourself. And I can think of it. I can think of an experience that I had with a boss. Several years ago. I was in a different position than I'm currently in now. And she was just a big bully. And that was my experience of her. And I think sometimes, you know, you can experience somebody in a certain way, but, you know, a colleague does not necessarily have the same experience. And I think all of that has to do with our own filters and our own, where we happen to be in life in that particular point in time and other things that might be happening for us. But I remember it in that particular situation that I just felt like she was just... I couldn't do anything right. Everything that I did was just, you know, there was never a compliment. There was always like, it was constantly, this is what you did wrong, this is what you did wrong, this is what you did wrong. And after a point, you know, you hear enough of those kinds of comments, you start to believe it. You start to say, wow, you know, I'm really, you know, really I'm not very good at this job. And I'm not making a contribution here. And so I think that, you know, when I was able to step back from that and see it after I left. After I had left the position, because I said I'm not taking this anymore, and I went on to another job. But as I was away from it, I looked back at that. I said my reflection told me that it was not necessarily that it's not that she was not bullying, because I really still do believe that she was doing that, but how I reacted to it. I could have done something different if I had had, you know, a clearer mind about what was going on. Not the specifics of it, but really what was going on for me. So if I had been able to stay in that situation and say, you know, really, what can I do to make this different? How can I accept what's going on at the same time not losing myself in it? I think that, you know, the situation could have changed. You know, I guess maybe similar to what you're talking, what you shared, Tim, in terms of your personal story. That, you know, once you know, it turned around. And I think that if that had been, if I had stayed in that position, and had been able to get to a place that would have helped me to see it differently, I think the situation would have turned around. I don't know that that's always. You know, that's, you know, my path was to, you know, leave the situation, and that was beneficial and helpful for me, because it was hindsight that and removal from the situation that allowed me to reflect on it and say, next time this happens, if this happens to me again, I'm going to do this differently.
We just did a show recently on the Super Soul Sunday wrap up on Maya Angelou. So,
oh, wow.
One of the things that she said that you just reminded me of that I absolutely loved is that what people say is about them, what we hear is about us.
Oh, cool.
You know, and I think I was in this exact same situation in my situation. And, you know, I should probably repeat that for people. You know, that's sort of a tweetable moment. What people say is about them. What we hear is about us.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I wish I would have thought of it.
I know.
But I'll just quote Maya Angelou. Barb, you talked about something earlier that an exercise that you did that I have to tell you that I will be stealing from you.
You're welcome to.
It's the I am exercise. And
yeah.
I recently heard somebody say that I am are the two most powerful words in any language, whatever form it takes.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Whatever you put behind I am, you eventually create.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Yeah, and, go ahead.
No, no, I want you to, I was just going to say, Dexter, this seems to be sort of your field of expertise. Let's get you in here on that.
Well, I recently experienced that with listening to Conversations with God. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that line of work. And he talks about the I am. And it was one of the most profound things ever. He talks about being grateful. And, you know, and a lot of us, we appreciate what we have, but are we truly, truly grateful for every moment, good, bad, or indifferent, because every moment teaches us something about ourselves. Every moment gets us to live at a higher self, if we so choose to have it be that way. And learning the I am, I have for years I've never thought about me. I am this or I am that. I always thought, well, whatever. And then when I heard, if you put I am in front of anything you say, so shall it be and so shall you be. And it was one of the most moving things I'd ever heard in my life. So it is very important. So now it's in my works. Anytime anyone does anything, any writing or any of any sort, I always make sure they put I am in front. And it has very profound impact.
Yeah, and so people don't think that we've gone off on a tangent here. We really haven't, because this self-acceptance thing is really sort of what is dictating your I ams. What you see
Absolutely.
About yourself and how you feel about yourself is really what you think about yourself, and, you know, it's really generally what follows the words I am.
Absolutely, 100%. So it has been, yeah, very powerful stuff. Yeah, I am, absolutely.
So I will jump in real quick and just tell you, I think I will tell a personal story on sort of the self-acceptance field. And mine's going to involve work again, but it's going to be around a situation that was probably 15, almost 20 years ago. I was in this situation, and it was not long after I had moved to New York, and my self-esteem wasn't really, really high when I moved to New York. I was just telling some people recently that denial kind of worked for me in a lot of ways. I moved to New York without a plan at all. And I had no idea what I was going to do when I got here. I didn't know, I didn't have a job when I moved here. I didn't plan on moving here. Somebody asked me if I wanted to move with him, and I said yes. And I found myself here, and I sort of got myself in these hotel jobs because I'd been in the hotel industry for a while. And I got this job in the Grand Hyatt in New York, and I was working as a housekeeping manager. And my first job was really walking around and checking housekeepers' works to make sure that they did what they were supposed to do. And I used to tell everybody my job at the time was checking toilets for a living. and eventually, I'm very detail oriented in certain things, and I'm. My partner sort of, what's the word he uses for me? I can't remember it. It's not a very nice word. He's joking, but it means I'm a little anal retentive, that I want things done a very certain way, which I kind of do, and it kind of served me in that job. And eventually they decided that they wanted to move me into this office position where I would go in and I would sort of organize the day for the housekeepers. And the woman who was managing me had done the job before, and evidently she had been pretty good at the job. And she used to stand over my shoulder every day and say, when I was in this position, I would do it such and such way. And when I was in this position, I would do it such and such way. And I was such a perfectionist, and I did not allow myself to make any mistakes. I thought that I wasn't allowed to. I thought people would think badly of me if I wasn't perfect. Which is probably just the opposite. I mean, who likes a know-it-all and anybody who's really perfect? And one day, I don't know, I was sitting there, and she was saying, you know, she stood over my shoulder, and she said, well, if I was doing this job, I would have done such and such. And I do not know what came over me. I turned around at her, and I looked at her, and I said, I'm not trying to be you. And she kind of got this look on her face like, oh. She turned around and she walked away. And the funny thing about it is, from that moment on, I made the decision, I can do this job, and I can do this job really well. And I eventually did learn how to do that job and do it really well. Because I had decided for myself, you know, it's okay that I'm not perfect. I don't need to be perfect. I just need to learn. And I need to be okay with making mistakes. You know, and I need to have the faith in myself that no matter what mistake I've made, I'm going to be able to figure out how to fix it. And the world's not going to end. And it, you know, the story seems to be about, you know, a situation and her, but it was really me all the time that was holding me back. It was never her. I just allowed her to hold me back. I just allowed her to get under my skin because I believed somewhere underneath that maybe there was a part of me that believed, maybe I can't really do this job. Maybe I'm not really as good as I should be. Maybe I'm not as good as you. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what came over me, but something in the moment said, yes, you can, and she needs to stop. And she did.
Uh-huh.
I'll give her credit. She did.
She served her purpose.
She did serve her purpose, and, you know, I'm very grateful for this woman. I have no idea where she is today. Nedra, Nedra, if you're out there somewhere and you're listening, thank you.
It's true what they say. Sometimes people do come in your life for a season, and that's all they'll be there for, and you'll learn all that you need to learn from them at that moment.
Yeah, and I've had lots of cases of that through my years, but, you know... And, you know, and all of them have sort of contributed to who I am today.
Yeah. And sometimes I think we need to be, we need to have those kinds of people in our lives for a long time until the lesson becomes evident to us.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's not just, it, that moment you just described to him, like that was the lesson for her, lesson for you. You know, but, you know, those lessons, being aware when they come at you is the gold of life. And, you know, and sometimes it takes us a long time to be in with somebody or around somebody until that all of a sudden that, aha, that's why this person is in my life. You know, and the same for other people with us, you know, that they may, you know, something may happen. Some exchange of conversation may occur that all of a sudden they have a recognition that says, okay, that's why you're in my life. I needed to hear that piece. I was ready to hear that piece, and that made the difference. And that's, I think, you know, ties back to our theme for tonight's call, is that that's what the acceptance piece is all about, is hearing the lesson when it occurs. Whether that's hearing that through our ears or through our hearts, you know, but hearing it and saying, yes, that has made the difference. That helped me to turn the corner. That helped me to shift my thinking. That helped me to say, I'm lovable, or whatever it is that you, whatever the message is that you needed at that particular moment.
Yeah, and listen, there's a lot of things about myself that I still don't particularly, you know, think are the best traits to have. You know, there's still things that I need to work on and areas that I need to improve on, and there's part of me that I need to accept those things too, because if I don't accept them, I don't see them for what they are, and then I can't change them.
Right.
So guys, we're down to about 10 minutes left of the show.
Wow.
I can't believe time flew by fast.
It went fast.
Let's take a moment to give any last thoughts that we have on the subject. I will go with Barb this time.
Oh, last thoughts. I think it's worthwhile to for all of us, you know, there's always going to be parts of ourselves that we're always going to be working on. You know, we're works in progress. You know, it's not about, you know, reaching a certain place or a certain, you know, identity in life to say, okay, now this is it. Now I'm set. You know, kind of stuff. I think that acceptance and acceptance for self-love is an ongoing process. And you know, it's kind of like it's an ebb and flow to life. It's an ebb and flow to, you know, how we walk through the world. And, you know, we're going to encounter people that are going to lift us up and encourage us to be our best selves and support us as we identify our best selves. And then we're going to encounter people that are going to tear us down or are going to trip us up who are going to create obstacles for us, and we begin to doubt who we are and what we're about. And I think just recognizing that there is this ebb and flow to, there is this ebb and flow to life. There is this up and down, and that we are works in progress. I don't know who said this. I'll have to look it up to get the appropriate attribution. But a lot of times you hear this, the saying, you know, take a long, hard look at something. But somebody once wrote about taking a long, loving look at your life and at who you are. And it makes all the difference that if you're taking a long, loving look at your life, it's that's the look that I think we all want to have for ourselves and for the listeners and for the people that we encounter, because that's what acceptance is about. It's that long, loving look and seeing what's really real and knowing that it's all right.
Yeah, and what I'm kind of hearing you say is that, you know, have compassion. Have compassion for others,
yes.
but have compassion for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have
to
be perfect at this.
Right.
Mm. I hope this doesn't sound too airy-fairy, but one of the things that I start to tell clients, I tell clients is that enjoy those dark moments. Enjoy the breakdowns. Enjoy, you know, those moments when you're just like, oh, I hate this, this sucks. Because on the other side, you'll have a breakthrough, you have a bright moment, you will learn something about yourself, you know? And because that's just what we do. We go into those dark places, or we could choose to learn from, as the Course in Miracles says, we can learn from love or we can learn from fear. And if we choose to learn from fear, you know, just enjoy it. Be there. Be in that moment, because so much will come if you're open to it on the other side, and you will grow that much more each day as a person. And yes, do have compassion for yourself first, and then you will have compassion for others. Because I've seen way too many people have absolutely no compassion for anyone in any situation. And that's because they simply don't give themselves in any way and don't have any compassion for themselves. To learn, to grow, to make mistakes, to be imperfect. It's okay. It's okay. We're all here together. We're all imperfect. So those are my final thoughts.
Yeah, and you know, now I'm going to quote Neil Donald Walsh for you. You know, if you can't enjoy those, if you can't find your, get, at least get yourself into enjoying the dark sides, you can at least remember, and this is my quote from Neil Donald Walsh, curse not the darkness, for without it you cannot know the light.
Yeah.
You know, there is no light without dark. There is no good without bad. There is no up without down. There is no left without right. You know, and you can't experience one if you don't experience the other, because it has no meaning. You know, I use an analogy all the time. You know, one of my favorite foods is ice cream. I really do love ice cream. But if I had the thought that, you know, okay, all I ever get to eat is ice cream. I get up in the morning for breakfast, I have ice cream. I go for lunch, I have ice cream. I want a snack, oh, look what's there, ice cream. Hey, dinner time, ice cream. Tomorrow it's ice cream. And the day after that, it's ice cream. I don't think even if a point with you, if you change the flavors on me, if I got nothing but ice cream over and over and over again, eventually ice cream would no longer be my favorite food in the world. And the only reason that's my favorite food in the world is because I get a break from it. I don't have it all the time. And it's the same thing that you were saying, Dexter, is that, you know, if we all sit around and we think that we need to be perfect, we need to have a perfect life, we need to, everything needs to be in order, we don't want anything to ever happen to us that we don't want to, you know, that we don't like or we don't agree with or we don't feel comfortable with, and not realizing that if that was the case, we would never, ever be able to experience the really good things in life.
Wow. Very well said.
So, the things that I want to say about my wrap-up is, one of the things that I titled the show is that we are learning self-love through self-acceptance. And one of the things I kind of wanted to save to the end, and I'm glad it came to this, is that one of the things that I've really learned in life, and especially through my own journey, is that self-love, in a lot of ways, is equal to self-acceptance. Because the love that we all crave is unconditional love. And when I accept myself completely and fully, I'm accepting myself unconditionally. It doesn't mean I don't want to change things. It doesn't mean that I can't learn from things. It doesn't mean that I don't want to improve things. But at any given moment, I am where I am, and I need to make choices based on that, not based on what the past has been, not based on what I think the future should be, but based on where I am at any given moment. And the more I'm able to do that, the more I'm able to love myself, and the more I'm able to love others and allow them to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We are down to 4 more minutes. I should probably give you each a chance to give your contact information again. Barb, where can you be reached?
Tim, I can be reached at my on my website, which is www.RIDGETOP coaching.com. There's a contact form on my website that you can certainly fill out, and I would love to hear from folks that way. You can also email me directly at info@RIDGETOP coaching, and you can also call me directly, and my phone number is area code 908-509-1892. That's 908-509-1892.
Great. Dexter, how about you?
You can reach me at by email or telephone number. My email address is DexterCicero. Again, it's spelled C-I-C-E-R-O at gmail.com, and my phone number is 347-526-4752.
Great. And you can reach me at timbilliter.com or diyforyoursoul.com. That's all spelled out, DIYFORYOURSOUL.com. I also have a contact form on my site that you can reach me through. You can also follow me on Twitter at Tim Billiter. Get those Twitter numbers up. I've so enjoyed talking to both of you tonight. I think it's been a really good conversation. I'm glad that it's a subject that we talked about. I think it's a really important subject to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I think both of you have added some really, really good insights. I feel privileged to have had this conversation with you both.
Well, thank you, Tim, and you've been a great facilitator as well. Amazing and absolutely awesome. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, it was wonderful being on the call with both of you tonight. Great job.
Great. So this, again, my name is Tim Billiter. You are listening to myself and Barb Hetzel and Dexter Cicero. Don't forget tomorrow night, June 5th at 8 p.m., purposeful conversation. Boy, I cannot get that out for some reason. Purposeful conversation. It's Jose Albino. He will be talking about extraordinary stories of love and selflessness. Let me try that again. Extraordinary stories of love and selfless giving by two ordinary people that experienced monumental personal odds as caregivers, right here on the Life Coach Radio Network on blogtalkradio.com. And for those of you who are listening live, thank you so much for listening tonight. And if you can't listen live, you can go on to the blogtalkradio.com and go into the Life Coach Radio Network, and you can listen to us in the archives. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Barb, again. Thank you, Dexter, again. And hopefully we will team up again and have another fascinating conversation on another great subject.
Yes. Looking
thank you. Yes,
it.
I'll look forward to that.
Talk to you all soon.
Okay.
All right. Take
bye.
Care.
Good night, everyone.
Bye. Good night.